So last week we began reading through Luke's Gospel, and we read about John the Baptist coming to prepare the way for Jesus. And today, as we continue in Luke, we're going to read about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness as he was about to begin his public ministry. And of course, we all face temptations, just like Jesus did, which reminds me of a couple of stories that I wanted to share with you as we get started. And I'll tell you, these stories may or may not be true, but I'm going to tell them to you anyway. food can be a temptation for a lot of people, and it's not anywhere close to lunchtime, so don't start thinking about that. But there was a particularly portly middle-aged man who announced one day when he got to work that he was going to try to lose a few pounds. And so he asked his coworkers, please don't bring any cakes or cookies into work, you know, to celebrate birthdays or anything. I'm really trying to cut back. And so he did his best for several weeks. He was doing really well. But then one morning, this man showed up to work, and he had with him a delicious-looking 7-layer chocolate cake. And so his coworkers asked, what happened? What about your diet? You had been doing so well. And so the man told them that, you know, every day I drive past this bakery on my way into work, and they've had this chocolate cake in the window. And so this morning as I was driving in, I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I will not stop and buy that cake unless there's a parking spot right in front of the bakery. And it turns out that there was a spot right there in front of the bakery on my 8th time around the block. So I just had to buy a cake. So anyway, that got some folks in the office talking about temptations. And so during their coffee break, there were 4 friends who sat around a table, and they started to share with one another, just whispering, their biggest temptations that they face. And so George, he said, well, I hate to admit it, but sometimes I visit websites with racy pictures. And then Brenda, who was sitting next to him, she said, you know, I struggle too. Sometimes on the way home from work, I stop at the casino, and I've lost $1,000 this month. And then Katie, who was sitting across the table, she said, you know, I have a weakness for liquor. And sometimes when I'm sitting at my desk, I sneak a few drinks. And then Simon, who was also sitting there, said, you know, my biggest temptation is gossiping. And I would love to tell you more about it, but first I need to post a few things on my Facebook page. Right? Some of you, you'll get it in a minute. You'll just think about it there, his Facebook page. So everyone deals with temptation, right? It's not wrong to be tempted. And that's important to say. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. Jesus was tempted, as we'll hear in just a moment as we read the story. The world is full of enticing things. The world is full of things that lure us in. And as we read this story about the temptations that Jesus faced, we need to remember that Jesus was fully human, that he actually felt the temptations that he was faced with, just as we feel temptation. And so the issue becomes for us, just as it was for Jesus, is what are we going to do when we face those temptations? So let me read this story to you from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. We might read this story and think, it was so easy for Jesus, right? He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Of course he didn't give in to these temptations. And yes, Jesus is fully God. He is perfect. Jesus is holy. He is powerful. But we also believe from the teaching of Scripture that during his time on earth that Jesus was, in fact, also fully human. Jesus felt hunger. Jesus felt weariness. Jesus felt sorrow. He felt pain. He needed to sleep. Jesus needed to eat. He cried when he was sad. Jesus even wrestled with fear on the eve of his own death. And so after 40 days of fasting, all alone out in the wilderness, Jesus felt just how we would feel in that situation. And so it was in that time of weakness and need that the devil came to tempt Jesus. You know what temptation feels like, right? We all know what it's like. Sometimes maybe you feel the butterflies in your stomach. Maybe your palms start to sweat a little bit. Saliva may run over the back of your tongue because we can almost taste temptation. Those things that lure us. So what is it for you? What tempts you? You don't need to say it out loud, but what tempts you? We're all tempted. Jesus was tempted in three specific ways as the devil came to him out there in the wilderness. Three extremely tempting temptations, right? But there are also temptations that I think are symbolic of or speak to the temptations that we all face. Maybe not as extreme a way as Jesus was tempted, but we face these sorts of temptations all the time, the same ones that Jesus faced. And so we're going to think about what tempts us. We're going to think about what tempted Jesus. And then we're going to learn from Jesus some strategies that will help us to overcome temptations just as Jesus was able to overcome those things that tempted him. So we start with some temptations. We all face temptations. For instance, we are tempted to gratify our desires. And maybe that's what every temptation is, right? We're tempted to gratify the things that we want, our desires. After 40 days without food, Jesus was hungry and he was weak. And so that's when the devil gave him this delicious idea. Turn a stone into bread. You're hungry, right, Jesus? You're powerful, right, Jesus? You can do this. You're the Son of God, aren't you? Just turn a stone into bread. You don't need to be hungry. Why not, Jesus? Fill your stomach. Hunger and thirst are maybe the most basic of human desires. We need sustenance to survive, and there's nothing wrong with that. We know there's nothing wrong with feeling hungry. There's nothing wrong with being thirsty. Of course, we also desire other things. We desire shiny, expensive things, right? We call that greed. We desire seductive things. We call that lust. We desire things that aren't ours. We call that envy. We desire an easier way. We call that laziness. We desire things that we think we can't live without. We call that addiction. There are many things that we desire. And many of those things lead us, if we're not careful, into self-destructive behavior or into behavior that ends up hurting other people around us. And so you see, there's a point in which desire turns into sin, just as every temptation, if we give into it, turns into sin. What else tempts us? We are tempted to exercise power over others. The second trap that Satan set for Jesus is, he said to him, if you will just worship me, Jesus, then I will give you everything the world has to offer. All of its wealth, all of its luxury. Oh, and by the way, all of its power, all of its authority. And Satan says to Jesus, it's been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want, which may or may not have been true, but Satan always plays a little loose with the truth anyway. Now, the devil is not going to offer you, I hate to tell you, he's not going to offer you all of the power and splendor of the world. And why is he not going to offer you all the things that he offered Jesus? Well, because Satan has learned through many, many years of human experience that people like us will fall for far less than that. He doesn't have to offer us all the splendor in the world. We will fall for any little thing that he offers us. We are tempted by the abuse of power all the time. We hurt people we should love. We manipulate with our words. We put other people down. We bully, we abuse, because if we do those things, then it somehow makes us stronger and tougher. And we do these things all the time. This temptation is also, by the way, at the rotten heart of racism and prejudice. Right? The abuse of power. If I belittle and ridicule other people, or if I believe that someone has less value than me because of their color or the language they speak or the culture they were born into or whatever it might be, then I get to be superior. I get to rule over them. Power is a dangerous temptation. What else tempts us? We are tempted to glorify ourselves. We're tempted to glorify ourselves. That's why the devil took Jesus up to the top of the temple. And you can imagine the temple, maybe you think about it, at the top of our church, way up at the high point of the steeple there. And Satan says to Jesus, do a little magic trick for us, Jesus. Show people just how important you are. There are probably crowds down below, and whether they could see Jesus and the devil up there or not, I don't know, but that was kind of the point. Look at all these people. And Jesus, do this little trick. Throw yourself off from here. And then Satan does his own little trick. He quotes Scripture back to Jesus. And he says, because you know the prophecy, if you are really the Son of God, then God has promised that nothing bad can happen to you. And so the angels will come and catch you before you hit the ground. And then Jesus, think about what the crowds will say. You'll be a celebrity. This will be wonderful, Jesus. Everyone will know your name. The man who survived jumping off the highest point of the temple. It's the temptation of pride. And we all face it. Just show off a little bit. Put yourself at center stage. Let everybody see how great you are. You deserve it, right? Because you're a great person. You're so smart. You're so beautiful. You're so wise. You are so wonderful. And in every way, those fancy clothes you wear, that shiny new car, those stories that you love to tell about yourself, because you really are something, aren't you? Everybody wants to know more about you because you're a star, at least in your own mind. And I guess in my mind, I think the same things. It's at this point in the sermon when you are probably thinking, why is he looking at me? Right? Don't worry. I'm looking at all of you. And I'm looking at myself. And that's the point, right? We are all tempted. We all face these things, and they're inside of our minds, and they're in the world around us, and it's Satan whispering as he sits on our shoulder, or however you want to picture it, but we face these temptations. And the question for us is, what are we going to do about it? So the good news is that we can learn from Jesus. So as we think about Jesus and how he faced the temptations in the wilderness, let me share with you 5 strategies for overcoming temptation, and these are all taught to us by Jesus in this story. The first one is to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days all alone, except that Jesus was not alone, was he? No, he wasn't. Listen to verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus didn't go out there all by himself. There were no other people with him, but the Holy Spirit was right there with him all the time. And the Holy Spirit was Jesus' source of strength. We have the Spirit in our hearts too. If you are a follower of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That is a promise that God has made us. That is the truth of Scripture. God's powerful and wise presence lives inside of your heart, which means that when you face temptation, you're not alone. There is no temptation that you will ever face that you face all by yourself. Even though that's often how it feels, right? And sometimes that's why we give in to temptation, because, oh, no one else will know. No one sees what I'm doing. But the Spirit is there to give you strength to overcome that temptation. The second strategy is to read and remember God's Word. Read and remember God's Word. Jesus answered all 3 temptations that the devil put in front of him by doing the same thing, and that is quoting Scripture as his defense against the temptation. And of course, we might say, well, of course, Jesus knows the Bible because he wrote it, and that's easy for Jesus. Well, okay, maybe Jesus had some advantages over us, but we can do the same thing that Jesus did if we are willing to read God's Word and study it and learn it enough that it sinks from our minds down into our hearts, so that it becomes a part of us. So that even if we're not walking around with a Bible in our hands, and believe me, when temptation comes, you usually don't say, oh, excuse me, let me refer to my Bible here, let me look up in the concordance this temptation and find a verse to... No, we need to have it in our hearts enough so that when we are tempted, it will come out through the Spirit's help and because we know the Word enough that we can respond the way Jesus did so that we can overcome temptation with the truth and wisdom of God's Word. The third strategy to overcome temptation is desire a right relationship with God above all else. Above all else. And by the way, these strategies are effective, but they're only effective if you work on them before the temptation comes. Right? You have to read the Word before you're tempted so that you know it when you're tempted. You have to invite the Spirit to be active in your life before you face the temptation so that the Spirit is there when you need the Spirit. And you have to desire a close and intimate relationship with God above everything else so that when the temptation comes, you'll be ready. So Jesus told the devil when he faced that first temptation, He said, in essence, people don't just need bread to live. I'm hungry, I would like to eat, but I know that what I need in my life is not just a meal. And we know the end of that verse, that we need God's Word. We need God's presence in our lives. And that is how we are sustained. Our souls hunger most of all to know and love and honor God. That is our deepest need. And the more we desire God to be first and best in our lives, the less we will be drawn to the tempting things of this world. And the more we seek after Jesus, the more we love Him with all of our hearts, then the less we will be tempted by selfishness and pride and all those other things that come our way. The fourth strategy is to humble yourself before God. Humble yourself. We humans are not good at this. The devil offered Jesus all the power and wealth of the world. It can all be yours, Jesus. Just bow down and worship me. And Jesus responded, I will only worship the one true God. I will only serve Him. You see, just about every sin has its root in either pride or selfishness. And our best defense against either of those is to humble ourselves before God, to remember that you owe everything to God. You owe God your worship and your thanksgiving and your service and your love. You owe God your submission in all things. Now, this also helps us to remember our place in the world around us and even in the lives of other people. The world does not revolve around me. And you're thinking, yeah, I know, because it revolves around me, right? No, it doesn't revolve around you either. I don't deserve everyone's attention. Neither do you. Instead, I need to be ready and willing to serve others. I need to remember that all people are made in God's image. And what I've been called to do is to love them. And even to serve them. And to seek their best instead of my best. So we humble ourselves. The fifth strategy is to trust God to help you overcome. And that may seem obvious, but it's important to remember that overcoming temptation may not be something that we are strong enough to do on our own, but it is something that God can help us do. And so Jesus told the devil, when he faced that third temptation, he said, don't put God to the test. In other words, I'm not going to show off who I am and ask God to sort of bail me out. Don't ask God to prove Himself. We don't invite God to entertain us with His power and His might. It's not what God does in our lives. We shouldn't test God, but we should trust Him. And there's a big difference between the two. We trust God. We trust that He's able to protect us. We trust that He's able to guide us away from temptation. We trust that He's able to give us strength during those times when we feel weak, but His strength is still powerful enough to lead us out of temptation. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us, when you are tempted, God will provide you a way out. In fact, it says you will never face a temptation that is unique only to you. God's not going to be surprised by any temptation that comes your way. And when you are tempted, He will provide you a way to overcome that temptation. He will give you the strength and the wisdom and the force of will to say, no, I'm not going to give in to that. And we have a choice to make every time we face that temptation. There is no temptation that's so seductive that you can't resist it. You might think that. You might feel it in your own human weakness. Oh, I just couldn't. I couldn't turn away. It's not true. God's Word tells us it's not true. God always provides a way out, and the way out that He provides is when we trust in Him to give us the strength that we need to overcome that temptation. And so the choice you face when that temptation is so strong and so seductive is not to rely on your own strength to turn away, but the choice, the better choice, is to trust that God can help you to overcome. And so that brings us back to the two things that Jesus took with Him into the wilderness, and the two things that we need to have with us all the time. As you think about that temptation that you know is prominent in your life, we need to be sure that everywhere we go, in all that we do, that we are listening to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is with us, but we need to be aware that the Spirit is there. We need to open up the ears of our soul to listen to the Spirit's voice so that we can hear what God is telling us to do in every moment of our lives, and especially when we face those temptations. And second, we need to be sure that we have God's Word in our hearts deeply enough, and enough of the Word, so that when that temptation comes, we will have the wisdom we need to say, no, I'm not going to give in. And to have the Word of God to fall back on, and the strength of the Holy Spirit to sustain us so that we can overcome every temptation, and so that we can honor God in all that we do. Let me pray for you. Let's bow our heads. Father, I do pray that You would give us strength when we face temptation. Lord, we live in a world that's full of so many things that want to lure us away from You and away from the way that You want us to live. And so I pray, Father, that You would give us the strength we need through Your Holy Spirit. Give us the wisdom we need through Your Holy Word. Give us the courage to say no. And Lord, not just to resist temptation, but then to turn around and do what is right and good, and to live in ways that bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your great promises. And we thank You for the example that Jesus is to us. Lord, help us to live lives that reflect who Jesus is, so that we can be more like Him and so that we can show the world who He is. We ask this in our Savior's name.